Blog Talk Radio.
Spring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV
and
with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room
Monday
at
701-582-1600
or online at www.woodspring.com.
Woodspring
Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by Trust Score.
And we got a great show tonight, as always. And we always aim to please, hear, and impress with who we have on. And, of course, today is no exception. We're going to have a great lineup of wrestling legends and superstars and just your basic run-of-the-mill super, super-duper guests. As always, we're going to have Ice Train, WCW legend. We're going to have Laura Mooney. She's calling us all the way from Europe, and it's actually 4 in the morning right there. So when it comes to people complaining about me calling them at 2 in the morning, tonight is no exception because it's technically 2 in the morning where we're going to be talking to Red. And we're also going to be talking to the legend Randy Rhodes, who's also another WCW Internet legend and sensation. So right now we're going to start things off, and we're going to have a good time with what we're going to do. Let me bring on my co-host that I always have joining me with us. And as always, we have Granny. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm sitting here watching WWE right now, and Big Swing might be a little bit jealous because his favorite guy is in the ring talking to The Miz, and Edge just knocked him down to the ground.
And, you know, from time to time when Big Swing, unfortunately, is unable to join us because, you know, he decided to go buy a sports bar, and he decided to go on to bigger and better things, and he forgot who his buddies are here in Fargo, North Dakota, but that's okay. We have a fill-in. We have our good buddy. He is the C-Man himself. He is Christopher Carmen.
Hey, this is Christopher Allen Carmen III. You're listening to the Attitude Era live on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster.
So does anybody ever call you CC3?
No, actually CAC. Christopher Allen Carmen. CAC.
CAC
the third.
CAC,
yes.
not to be confused with RGB the third.
Yeah, no. You have my permission. You have my permission to call me CAC. Only a few friends are allowed to call me CAC. So I give you permission
then,
to call me that.
Well, that's good because I know our friendship is brewing, and hopefully by the end of the night it will continue. So we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out as we go. Anywho, so let's kind of get everybody caught up here. I just mentioned our guests. Our first guest will be calling in here in about 10 minutes or so. And it's Ice Train, but let's kind of catch everybody up. We had a nice week, of course, here in North Dakota. We had a nice, well, not in North Dakota, but here in Fargo, we had a nice little snowstorm that decided to put a little hamper on things. However, we have all dugouts, and we're doing well. Granny, what's the weather like out there in Arkansas?
Well, it's 32 degrees tonight. We had severe thunderstorms, high winds, thunder, lightning last night, heavy rain. And tonight it's like 32 degrees. No snow yet, though. So, but I'm very happy, though, because my Chiefs beat the Denver Broncos in Kansas City last night. So I was very happy my Chiefs won. So.
And that was a great game. We watched it at a local establishment here. I find that watching a game with other football fans is a lot more exciting than watching it at home. You know, I used to watch the games at home when I was a kid with my dad, and unfortunately, since I've grown up, well, not really, but I'm no longer at the house anymore, so I decided to find other avenues on how to watch the game, but, you know.
My husband won't sit next to me when I watch a football game, Icon, because he don't want to get hit when I start getting mad at the referees. I start swinging my arms, and I get mad,
oh.
And I holler at my TV, and my husband.
Oh, you're one
not,
of those fans.
Yes, I am. I'm one
right.
of those fans, and you know, because
very animated.
Before my husband and I got married, he wouldn't even sit next to me watching a football game, and I kind of holler at wrestling matches too, like that. You know, I'll get mad at the referee, or I don't like the heels, so you know, I holler at the bad guys too at wrestling shows. You should see Granny in action. I mean, I'm a lot of fun. I tell you, I'm a lot of fun. That the fans even get this Granny Hulkster. They'll go like, you know, Granny Hulkster. You know, they'll get this Granny chant going. You know, so.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're gonna do.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Andy, but here's what we're going to do here. Chris, you know, you're new to the show, and this is going to be a long-lasting relationship with us. We'll talk more about that a little later. But kind of give us a little background about yourself so fans know what you're into.
Okay. As of right now, I am the manager of the two top professional wrestlers in Nonstop Wrestling Alliance out of Paris, Tennessee. That being the sensational Ty Blade, unfortunately the former world champ, and the ultimate male, Dan Vail. Now, together, the three of us are the Hollywood Triad. Now, how I got into professional wrestling, it's a little bit of a story here. You see,
all right. Well,
I started out in Kentucky, little podunk town in Kentucky. Then I moved to the greatest city in the world, Hollywood, California. I got into the managing business. I managed stars. I made people famous. Then one day, I was just sitting in one of my mansions talking to some clients of mine. We were drinking old fashions. We were smoking the finest cigars. And a friend of mine, one of my clients, Mark Wahlberg, all he said was that, Chris, CAC, you need to branch out a little bit. You need to branch out and manage somebody besides Hollywood stars. So, another friend of mine, you may know him, he's kind of popular in the business, Dwayne Johnson, said, why don't you get into wrestling? So, here I am, Nonstop Wrestling Alliance out of Paris, Tennessee, is the company I work for. Now, whenever they said Paris, Tennessee, I thought, well, actually I thought Paris, France at first. But whenever I went to Paris, Tennessee, I was like, wait a minute, this is way beneath me with all the redneck scum out here, all the Paris parasites. But anyway, I digress. Little bit about the company, Nonstop Wrestling Alliance. We are a new company. We have only been running for less than a year. Now, our next show, the powers that be decided to take the holidays off, which was nice. I know wrestling really doesn't have any time off or any timeouts, mainly like other sports, but it was nice of them to let us be home with the holidays. Our next show will be on January the 22nd. It will be at the fairgrounds in Paris, Tennessee, at the Enoch Community Building. The card is not finalized yet. I can let you know more whenever the card gets finalized, but it will be a sensational show as always because, you know, I will be there and everybody will be staring at my beautiful bald head. So,
well, you know,
it'll be a fantastic show.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, there's, you know, I myself don't know anything about being bald, but I will say this because our chat room is kind of going crazy right now about that. You know, you mentioned that you do a lot of stuff in Hollywood, and of course, that will lead into whenever you need a big star out of the state of North Dakota, you have my number, and I know I'm on your speed dial, so I would definitely like to come out there. And
my people will get in touch with your people, and we'll get something situated.
And if you could do put me in a scene in the movie with The Rock where he body slams me off a building, I guarantee you everybody listening to the show will flock to their screen just to watch that happen.
believe me, I can do it. I can sign. I can have the paperwork to you, and you can be one of my clients. I can send that to you.
And, well, I'll tell you what, our first guest is on. What we're going to do here, we're going to take a quick little pause here. We're going to take a little quick little time out here, and we will be back after we play these messages, and then we'll go to our first guest. So if you guys hold on, we'll be back in just a little bit.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
And we want to thank 89.1 Ken's FM, and the Icon will be there for the New Year's Eve celebration, so come check us out. But right now, let's bring him out of the green room as he walks down the aisle and steps into the ring. We have the biggest WCW legend in history. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Iceman himself. He is Ice Train.
How you doing, people? How you doing out there? Let me give all my people a nice choo-choo. How are you?
Doing good. Glad to have you on the show.
Good, Ice Train. How are you?
Doing great.
Man, we've been,
how are you,
we've
Ice Train?
We've been missing each other. Man, I'm doing pretty good. Just sitting here, chilling out, watching a little bit of this New England and Buffalo game.
Well, here's what we're going to do, Ice Train. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a round table, and then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first off, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then we can have fun.
All right, let me give you a little background. Let's see, 19, when I left college in 1990, I was with the Ottawa Rough Riders and the Cincinnati Bengals. And at that time, football was a very difficult game. I think the average salary was $85,000, the minimum, 85 grand. So it wasn't a lot of money playing football back then. I believe Boomer Esiason was the starting quarterback for the Bengals, making about 150 grand. So Pistol Pass Watley, God rest his soul, saw me in the gym working out at Gold's Gym in Indianapolis, Indiana. I think I was squatting about 900 pounds then, benching over 700, and I mean legit bench, a legit squat, and I was dunking a basketball. So he came up to me one day, he said, "Would you like to wrestle?" I said, "Man, I love professional wrestling. I grew up watching Bulldog, Don Kent, Bobo Brazil, the Mighty Igor, and the Sheik." So that was my introduction to wrestling. They were coming to – I was working at Gold's Gym, actually, at that time. And I remember Laura Knight's Animal watching me bench press, like, 500 for, like, 16 reps. And I'm not ribbing. This is a straight shoot. I was doing it for about 16 reps. And he was like, "Oh, my goodness, that's crazy." And Shockmaster actually watched me bench press, I don't know, 500 pounds, about 18 reps at Gold's Gym in North Carolina. So powerlifting was my love, football was my heart, and wrestling was my passion.
Ice Train is our guest here. We're on 89.1 KENS FM. And so now you mentioned that you were discovered by Animal, which is pretty interesting. Unfortunately, we lost Animal here about, 4 months ago now, I believe it was. He's from our area. Has it been longer than that? I'll have to look that up. He's actually from our area here. He actually, he's from Minneapolis, and he played football for a former football coach from our local independent football team, which is really interesting. As a matter of fact, we had him on the sidelines once for a game, and I'm like, "Wait a minute, that's Animal." But of course, no one knew it because he wasn't wearing his spike pads or anything like that. So now you wrestled in the WCW. Now, when you were in WCW, how did you get your start with them?
Okay, I'm going to do a small correction. Pistol Paz Watley discovered me in Gold's Gym. Animal was working out in the gym that I was at, and he was really motivated by my strength. But Paz Watley found me and brought me into Atlanta. That's how I got to WCW, through Pistol Paz Watley. WCW was on tour in Indianapolis, Indiana, and they were all working out at the Gold's Gym that I was working out at. That's how I got my introduction to Animal in Hulk. Hulk is cool, too.
Now, you obviously remember your first match. Who was it against?
Al Green.
You did win that match, right?
It was about a 15-second match. Yes, I did win. Yeah.
All right. We have Ice Train as our guest.
Did we lose your icon?
I'm here.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry, I just had a little technical issue. What I'm going to do here is, Ice Train, I'm going to introduce you to Granny Hulk. Sir, we have Ice Train as our guest. We're on 89.1 KENS FM. We got 26 minutes. Go ahead, Granny. What do you got?
Well, it's welcome to our show, and we're glad you're on. And to answer your question, Icon, about Animal, he passed away September 22nd of 2020, because he passed away 10 days after his birthday. So he's been gone over a year.
That's what I was
saying. I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah. Yeah, because mm-hmm. I looked it up. He passed away 10 days after his birthday. So, but getting back to our guest, and like I said, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. So how long did you wrestle for WCW?
Well, I was on a contract for 13 years. I was there 13 years.
And when did you start with them?
1992.
Well, you probably remember a name, a gentleman's name, by the name of Papa Stro. He was known as the Maestro. He wrestled for WCW.
Yeah, I remember the Maestro. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm on different podcasts. Sometimes I call into his podcast that he does, WCW Retro, on Thursday night. Sometimes I'll call into his podcast, so. I figured
yes,
you probably would recognize that name. I figured you would recognize that name, so.
Yeah, it's cool. I remember the Maestro, yes. I do remember.
So I guess one of my questions to ask you is, what was one of your most challenging matches, and who was your opponent, and what kind of match was it?
My most challenging matches was with Lord Steven Regal.
Oh, wow.
And, because in Europe, it would be like in Europe, Regal, if I was to work with Regal, it would have been like a very short match and I would have went over, because in Europe, it was different for me in WCW in Europe. I was out of boxes. I was getting a really big push in Europe. That's where my really big push. And when I would come back here with Regal, I would do weightlifting seminars. And I was telling my wife I had did a big weightlifting seminar, and I was doing a bunch of reps and squats. And the next day, I had a 12-minute match. And if you ever lift a lot of weights. I think I had bench pressed 225 for like 66 times.
Oh, wow.
Shoulder work, squat. And I mean, and I'm not exaggerating about the reps. I mean, I was doing 50 reps at 50 years old. And I was so sore. I was so sore working with Regal that day. I could barely move. And I had a 12-minute match. And it probably was the worst match. It should have been the best match. But what happened, they had told me I had three quick matches, and then later on that night, they put me in Regal at the end of the night in a TV title match, and I had already had three matches that night, and I was just really exhausted. That was my most difficult, and my worst match ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Ice Train's our guest here. We've got about 23 minutes. Ice Train, I'm going to introduce you to our other special guest. He's sitting on my right, and it's CAC the third. What do you have for our guest, Ice Train? Go ahead.
Hello, Ice Train. How you doing this evening?
How you doing?
I got a couple. I am doing finer than frog hair. How are you?
Good. Run them to me.
That's good. Okay, I got a question for you. You had a little undefeated streak in WCW.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Ron Simmons that finally pinned you. Is that correct?
Actually, I was knocked out. I wrestled the whole match with a concussion, and I don't remember the match. Yeah, I came in. The spot was a suplex over the top rope. And, brother, next thing I know, we were going home early. And I don't remember anything else. And that was my first super clash. And it was supposed to be a double disqualification. And Ron did his best to get me to remember the match. But, brother, when I hit my head, I was gone. And I didn't even know I had a concussion until like 3 days later. I couldn't see. My eyes were bright. But the match was going really good until I hit my head on that match. It was classic. Man, I don't remember anything from that time on.
Well, I understand what you're talking about with dealing with concussions. I had a real severe one about a year ago, and it it knocked me into seizures, and I was out for a couple of days. So I understand the concussions. Trust me.
Yep.
Another question here.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was 16 and 0 until I had 40 and 0 until I lost to Ron, and then mm-hmm. I think they let Ron go and send me to Europe. And Vader sent me to Europe. Vader had got me booked in Europe because I was really green. And I had personality and charisma. But the matches were too long. So when I went back to Europe, my first tour, I did 4 tours over in Europe. And the light had began to cut on because I was working every day over in Europe with great guys like Cannonball Grizzly, Fit Finley, mm-hmm. Dave Taylor, Slore Steve Casey. I don't want to forget anybody. Hiro Yamamoto, who was the New Japan heavyweight champion. JBL, who was one of my good friends. We used to have some nice matches over there in Europe. And just so many other guys. Danny Collins. Tony St. Clair. I don't want to leave anybody out. Tony St. Clair was one of the guys over there. And those are European legends. And that was a great learning ground for me.
Got another question here. You
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
No, go
just
ahead.
One more
go
question
ahead.
Here. Fire and Ice. You and Scott
okay.
Norton. Okay. My question is, if you had to pick somebody to be a tag team partner with, let's say Scott was out. Who would you have liked to have tagged with in WCW?
Well, with that, I think me and Ron Simmons at one point would have been great, but I
mm-hmm.
think they didn't want to do. I didn't think they wanted to do another Doom.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
And I didn't think they wanted to do another Doom. But if I had my own special guest, it would have been my cousin. If you ever watch fitness videos, his name is C.T. Fletcher. And we're built just alike, and we look like twins. It would have been a great tag team. It would have. When you get time, just Google C.T. Fletcher, and we would have been some great tag team partners. But the thing about Fire and Ice, at that time, I didn't understand Scott Norton. He was my buddy. We didn't have a bad relationship. At that time, I just thought I was doing good on my own, and he was doing good on his own. And I think the company rushed it, and it never – I mean, like, me and Norton never even went down and did a working match together. It was all on TV. And I believe if they would have pushed me and Norton, because when me and Norton were with the Steiners – brother, the Steiners were known for just beating the hell out of everybody. And me and Norton held our own, and we had classic matches with the Steiners. And
yes, you did.
They were great matches. And then you just break it up. He really goes to just being the NWO. Nothing really happens. Scott doesn't get a tag team championship like in Japan. And then I do these single competitions, and then they finally give me the Am I Smooth character later on. But I thought Fire and Ice should have had some gold around their waist. And that's how I feel to this day. And I just think WCW, like they did a lot of things, they dropped the ball. And I know they dropped the ball on Fire and Ice because a lot of people really like that tag team.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think y'all should have had some gold.
Ice Train's our guest here. We got about 17 minutes here with Ice Train, and I wish it was actually 17 more years because we do have a lot of questions. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time, but I'm going to ask what I can, and then Ice Train. I know that those 2 a.m. in the morning phone calls from me did get kind of old, but I'm just glad you didn't come here to North Dakota and bench press me. So I appreciate that for doing that. But anyway, one thing about Ice Train people, fans, is that his smile, his incredible smile. He flashes those pearly whites at you when he's walking down the aisle. I mean, you know that you've seen a great guy. I mean, your smile is just it's the best smile in wrestling. I'm not just saying that because you're on the show with us, but that's one thing I'll always remember about Ice Train is your smile.
You know, I looked at it. I told Teddy Long, I said, Teddy, do you know I wrestled over 300 matches and I lost like 25? The Ric Flair wrestled 5,000 matches and lost over 5,000. I said, man, and the reason I made that joke, because it didn't matter if I was winning that night or losing, I was not going to let the fans down and show a sour face and change my personality or my character because I knew I had a job to do at the end of the day.
So, you know, you were managed by Teddy Long, and I'm going to ask a few things about Teddy, and then I'm going to ask you about your opinion on the fall of WCW. Now, when you first met Teddy Long, did he approach you, or did WCW put you guys together? You know, because you know Teddy Long, he's been a master in the business, a great manager, you know. But I always got bored with "Let me holler at you, playa." Is that what he said to you when you guys were in the locker room, and he said, "Hey, you come with me"?
No. At first, I didn't want to be with Teddy Long because I thought Teddy was a corporate man. That's at first. But as I got to know Teddy, I saw he understood the wrestling business. And that's when I really began to respect Teddy Long. And he would come to me and say, hey, you're just young. You know, I was really young. I actually was the first person to ever come out that power plant with a contract, that WCW power plant. I was the first one to ever come out of that stage production. And, man, and when I first started wrestling, my first 2 years, I had a torn ACL that I never had time to get fixed. So when I met Teddy, Teddy became a great ambassador to me of the positiveness of pro wrestling. And that's why I love and I respect Teddy Long to this day. He was always
now,
positive.
Now, when you were with Teddy, did he give you any good advice that still sticks with you to this day?
Oh, yeah. He did. Teddy came to me and said, Train, sometimes you got to do business that you're not always going to be happy with. But long as the outcome, it was always about the fans with me and Teddy. If I can make a little kid smile and I can make a lady smile and if I could touch somebody's life who was going through something that particular night, and make them smile. And that's what me and Teddy love to do, like just touch a fan. I remember we went to a couple of hospital visits and visit the kids with cancer and leukemia. Those are the things that me and Teddy did when the lights wasn't on anymore. That's the part that I loved about WCW. It gave me opportunities to work with kids.
And, you know, the other thing I was going to ask you, you know, when you came out of the power plant and you got your contract with WCW, you obviously had to have talks with Eric Bischoff. What was your thoughts of Eric Bischoff when you first met him?
Eric Bischoff, if I never see Eric again, he'll always be my man. Eric Bischoff loved some Ice Train. He loved me outside the ring. Eric always treated me fair with money. Eric always respected me. Eric Bischoff, other than DDP, I'll give you my people who I really respect in WCW who were there. Dusty
okay.
Rhodes would be number one.
The American Dream, Eric Dusty Bischoff. Rhodes.
Eric Dusty Rhodes came up to me one day and said, baby, you got it. You got it. I don't know if they're going to know what to do with it, but you got it. You got it now. And then I got it. Then that company closed on me. That's why I never wanted to wrestle again. But let me finish my Mount Rushmore. Eric Bischoff was number two because he didn't never look at my skin. He didn't care if I was black. He didn't care if I was white. If you can make the fans not turn that TV and they can see you, as somebody said earlier in our conversation, that smile, I like you, Train, because I want people to see another side of a wrestler who just ain't got to come. I wasn't a junkyard dog. I was just myself. I was just myself. Eric Bischoff, a great mentor of mine, was DDP. DDP taught me to never give up. Don't get frustrated. Just keep banging along, bro. You got it. And it would be Diamond Dallas Page and Jody Hamilton, the assassin, and Paul Orndorff. And I got to throw Pistol Paz Watley in there. And Nick Patrick was major for me because I love when Nick would call my wrestling matches. It was like another – it was like a teacher in the ring when Nick Patrick would do my wrestling matches. But Eric Bischoff, Nick Patrick, Jody Hamilton, Paul Orndorff, and Paz Watley, and Eric, and the first person I gave you. And Thunderbolt Patterson was pretty good, but I just had to make sure Thunderbolt was cool to work with on occasion. He helped me out a little bit. And the one who gave me my first match, Ole Anderson. Ole Anderson understood me more than anybody. When Ole had the book, I was dominant. To make a long story short, Ole was like, I don't want you wrestling. I just need you to go out there and beat the hell out of somebody and pin them 1, 2, 3. You're not a wrestler. You're an entertainer. And that's what Ole taught me. And when they fired Ole, all of that went out the window. But Ole Anderson understood me and knew what the people wanted out of me. They didn't want a wrestler. They wanted a baby face who could smile and jump and cheer the people on. And that was the truth, Ole Anderson. But that came through, that same direction came from Eric Bischoff, though. Ole and Eric had the book together. And Eric Bischoff, that's when Ice Train first came out. And, you know, it was about a choo-choo and a 1, 2, 3. And everybody else just wanted to turn me into a normal wrestler. It was like, Ole's like, you're not a wrestler. Let's go out here and entertain people. And if they clapping, that's all that mattered for us. And that's why Ole Anderson was a good part of my wrestling career.
You know, and you know, you're obviously a big man, and everybody knows that with your stature and what you can bench press, and you know, for a big man, you were pretty light on your feet in the ring. I remember a couple matches with you. My other question is, you know, being as close to Eric Bischoff as you were, did they ever consider you for the NWO, or did you not want to even be part of that?
You know, Eric and Jimmy Hart came to me in New Orleans when Eric was going to buy Fuchsia, the company. And Eric was like, I'm going to take you with me to Fuchsia. And Jimmy Hart was like, Ice Train, you got it. That's when I was at my smooth. And Eric was like, I'm going to make you a champion. And I went home and I started really training because I've never, you know, it was so funny. People will always think, never did a steroid in the company, never flunked a drug test, and I was just myself. And because I thought me being natural and to move like I could, I tell people all the time, I when I look at Big E Langston and I look at Mark Henry, I look at Ice Trains. I mean, I was the first gal with 350 out there jumping and floating. And, I mean, I'm not tooting my horn, but I was the first. I was moving out there. And when I look at Big E Langston, I always think of myself, he gives me a chuckle here and there.
Ice Train's our guest here. We got 6 minutes left with Ice Train here on 89.1 KENS FM. Now, we do have a little assignment for everybody. If you go to our Facebook page, Off the Ropes, you like that. You go to Ken's FM page on Facebook, like that, and do a $10 a month donation. We'll get you qualified to win an autograph from our future guest, a current guest, or a past guest. And, you know, I don't know if you're able to do this for us, I train, but would you be willing to send us a few autographs for some giveaways for our big event coming up?
No. All I need is an address. Yeah. I'll put them in the mail for you.
All right, I will messenger you that. Now, when WCW closed its doors, did you go to WWE, or did you go independent, or did you just decide you were done?
James Laurinaitis called me. I was actually doing my garden work. And told me, hey, we got a deal for you. You'd like to come up here? And I kindly told him no. I said, I grew up on WCW and NWA. And I had no intentions on going up to Vince McMahon because I just didn't want my career to end up like several guys who went to Vince. How their career end up. I just wanted to leave it like it was. And I'm proud of myself for not even attempting to go up to WWE. I'm very happy. I had nothing else I had to prove, I believe. And I was a Southern boy from the Midwest, but I was a WCW man. And I was good. I was good. I was good. I didn't want to go. I was good. I was like, you know what? I'd be all right. And I didn't go.
You know, I did get to see you live at one of your matches when you were at the WCW Hog Wild in 96 up in Sturgis. Of course, we will talk about how I got to Sturgis later on without anybody in my family knowing I was there. But yeah, I remember you in Sturgis, and I mean, you had you know, I'm like, hey, that's Ice Train, and it was awesome seeing you wrestle. Do you remember who your opponent was that day?
It was Scott Norton. The Giant had broke my arm, and I had one arm, and I wrestled a 20-minute match with one arm, and the biggest compliment I ever had was Randy Savage walking up to me and said, that was one damn good match. He said, that was a damn good match because I thought your arm was truly broke. And that meant a lot for me, for Randy Savage to say that.
Ice Train's our guest here. We only got a few minutes here, but it looks like our next guest is having issues calling in because, you know, they're calling from overseas. So, Ice Train, would you be able to stick with us until our next guest does call in?
I'll stick with you. I sure will until the next guest call. I'm there for you. Let's do it.
All right. Well, good, because I have more questions for you. Now, when you you know, you were talking a little bit about your Mount Rushmore of wrestling. You know, you named a few of my heroes. You know, you get to hook up with and be with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and Macho Man, Randy Savage. And I'll understand if you don't want to answer this question, but is there anybody in the backstage area that you didn't get along with, or you're like, nah, I'm going to avoid him?
No. WCW to me was a happy family, man. It was, you knew if they were full of shit, excuse my language, full of poop. You knew if they were full of poop. But it wasn't really like that there. You knew your role. You knew how they felt about you. And it was a good company to work for. You had your A talent, your B talent, your C talent, your D talent, and you had the best enhancement wrestlers ever.
ever.
So it was like everybody was happy to get a meal, to get a good paycheck. It was a good time in pro wrestling. It really was. It really was. I remember
now,
me and Bill Goldberg before he became Goldberg, were just working biceps together at Gold's Gym. And we worked arms together. You know, it was just, it was a happy family. It really was.
Ice Train's our guest here. We have a few minutes here until our next guest calls in, but we're going to take a quick little time out, and we'll be back to finish the interview in about 60 seconds.
All right.
As a non-commercial radio station, KENS FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence
and,
has a cost.
Support,
and it's as little as $10 a month.
Kens FM with the with a donation of $10 a month, and we'll keep coming to you. You know, there's great programming on the show, on the station. You know, it's just great when you know, you have an independent radio station like Kens FM. I mean, they play the music that they want. They have great news that is not opinionated at all. So why not? So why not give your support to 89.1 KENS FM? We'll go back to Ice Train here. Our guest is still trying to call in. I guess they're having issues with their Skype. But anywho, Ice Train, what do you think, in your opinion, was what caused the downside of WCW?
Here's the honest take. Ted was having some issues with Jane Fonda, and he had took a little sabbatical, and the company was left in some people who really didn't understand pro wrestling. They didn't understand NASCAR, how popular that was. WCW was the number one rated cable show on TV. But they thought it couldn't work. So basically, they just gave the company away to Vince. And then you've noticed TNT has never been the same, nor has TBS, since WCW came off the air. Big mistake. Now, did you have a lot of guys sitting up there on payroll who never worked? Yes, you did. But that's something could have been fixed. But also, the company needed an overhaul of somebody to really run it, who loves pro wrestling, who had a dream for young talent and older talent at the same time. And that's what happened with WCW. They couldn't combine the talent. And it was just a really, it was a Debbie Downer for pro wrestling, because now instead of you having two major brands, an AFC and an NFC, or an NBA West Coast, a Western Conference or Eastern Conference, you just got one Kool-Aid on TV, and that's WWE. You can have as many companies as you want, but it's still only one WWE. It could be NXT, Raw, SmackDown, but it's all the same thing. It was just a difference when those curtains opened and that power went off in WCW. It was a different thing.
Now, do you have any plans on, well, I know it's just the WWE now, but do you have any plans on going back to wrestle at all, or has that been put in your rearview mirror?
You know, in the summertime, I did a curl contest, which is really popular right now, and I curled to like 200 pounds. I'm just getting back into my weightlifting. If I was to ever go back into wrestling, I would be a manager, something like that, but
there we
nothing,
go.
Nothing like that, but just a manager.
So is there any independent wrestler out there right now that you'd want to that you're watching that you you think that you can manage? That would be really cool.
You know, I thought I would like to manage Biggie. Biggie would have been good. Biggie Langston would have been good. And also the young guy who just got fired, who had a lot of great moves, but they didn't like his body, but which I didn't think was that much wrong. He just looked like a defensive lineman. And I forget his name, a black gentleman, Keith Lee, I think that's his name. And I would like one of those guys, but kind of the thing about the manager part is that basically almost I still look as good. I'm not being arrogant. I look a little bit better than when I did when I wrestled. And that's the whole, if you went to my Instagram, you could see, I mean, 56 years old and I'm still in pretty good shape. And I don't think it would match up with me in my suit on managing a guy who's 30 years old. I would probably take away from the guy a little bit. That's what I think would be the holdup. But as far as what I would love to do, I would love to wrestle and talk some stick for a good piece of talent. It would be great. I think it would be great.
And,
do you ever wrestle at any independent shows, Iceman?
I went to Europe a little while ago. Before the pandemic, I had a lot of stuff set up before the pandemic. But I
mm-hmm.
love independent. If the independent show called me and it put everything up right and it was organized from the hotel to the money that night and I was going to manage a guy, it would work out good as long as I was, you know, as long as it was professional. I just wouldn't do an independent just to go out there and do an independent and take the promoter's money. I would want to bring something to the promotion if I did an independent.
You know, speaking of that, you know, Ice Train, and I'll let CAC ask a question. You know, Ice Train, that Granny, she does stuff with Wrestling for a Cause, which it helps kids battling cancer raise money for treatments and stuff. Would you ever do personal appearances for those type of events, nonprofit events?
Of course, yeah. I'm all into that. Anything about the kids, and like I said, it's organized. If I'm going to leave my home, as long as my hotel's done, you got a good meal, and it's for a good cause, of course, I'm all into that, yes.
Is there
I was trying, I got it.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. What? I just got a quick question here. What is your current feeling about the product out now, about how we've got almost another war going on between WWE and AEW? Do you see the similarities of the war between WWF and WCW?
No.
Okay.
AEW is AEW. And WWE is still the big dog. You can bring some great talent over there, and it's some great shows, but until you can start running them shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's no comparison. AEW has an excellent, excellent, excellent product. Excellent product. But until both companies change, till somebody goes back to some normalcy. I'm going to give you a question. If you had a dog.
Go ahead.
If you had a dog and you spanked your dog over and over and over again, and that dog still loved you, who's the toughest, you or that dog?
The dog. I had to say the dog.
The dog.
The dog is. So if you got pro wrestlers jumping off 80 ropes and you're splashing people and you're busting people in the face and head and nobody's knocked out, nobody's bleeding, it makes the product look watered down. Wrestling is the thing of delusion. You want it to look real. It's become acrobatics. It's become
exactly
flying off. It's stuntman work now. It's not
spot fest.
Sitting up here. Yes, very good point. Yes, it's not like the old days or even the 80s or 90s where you get so angry at a guy like Roddy Piper who's busting you upside with a coconut on your head. Okay? You're not getting mad at a guy who's just a guy like Dusty Rhodes. Come on. Dusty Rhodes didn't have muscles, but, man, he could put a butt in the seat.
That's the truth right there.
Very well put.
You believe in everything he said. Those people still exist who want to believe in Dusty Rhodes. You know, I tell you, the American Dream got an interview, and he got a lot of them. But when he – just think about right now. If a young guy came out and said, I know what you're going through, America. You done lost some meals. You done lost your job. That's not that. You done lost your job. You know you ain't got no food to eat. But brother, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to cheer. That's the American Dream. Now all these wrestlers is how good I look. We all got six packs. We all look the same. There's nothing different about anything. That's a watered-down product. When you look at the NFL and you look at the NBA and you look at hockey, nobody looks the same at all. Nobody. You got an offensive lineman who's 6'9". You got a wide receiver who's 5'9". You got a quarterback who's 6'1". You got a quarterback who's 6'6". Nobody looks the same. What's wrong with wrestling? Everybody looks the same. Everybody works the same. It's like McDonald's. It's like microwave right now.
Hi, strange our guest here. We got about 3 minutes here before. It looks like our second guest is not going to be able to get their. I don't know. I'm going to have to send them a phone card or something. I don't even know if they make phone cards anymore. But, you know, when you're over in Europe and you're trying to call, you know, back here in the States, you know, you have to dial like 4-4 and then you have to dial like 3 more numbers and then 2 more numbers. And I don't know how it works. I don't ever call internationally. But we will get our second guest Laura Mooney on at some point, we have Ice Train with us. We got about 3 minutes before our third guest calls in, which now will become our second guest. Now, when you're backstage at WCW, Ice Train, and is there one besides the wrestler that you met? Is there any wrestler that you met that you're like that you like looked up to when you were a kid, and you're like, wow, there he is. Who would you say that would be?
It was Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan, I treated, you know, Hogan was pretty cool with me. And I don't think I treated Hogan like I should have because I heard so many stories. But he liked me. And Vader. Vader was my idol. Van Vader was my favorite wrestler. He was a big man who could do big moves, and he was believable as all get out. And I like Vader. And Sting. I like Sting.
Now, you were there when he was doing the curl sting at the time, right? Not the surface sting?
Who was that, Sting?
Sting, yeah.
Yep. He was still Sting. And I was there with him when he was doing NWO Sting, too. I was there for both of them.
Now, all right, we'll be back. 1 second.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
Sorry about that, guys. I forgot that we had to do a legal ID at the top of the hour. That was my fault. Sorry about that. Anyway, we got a few more minutes here with Ice Train. And then, like I say, I wish it was a lot longer time. But I'll tell you what, Ice, you have been just a regular, awesome guy, and we do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us. But so our fans can check you out and see what you're doing in the future. Do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a GoFundMe?
I got an Instagram account, Ice Train, ICETRAIS, just on my Instagram. And I got my Facebook, and it's Harold Hogue. That's it. As normal as can be.
Awesome.
Well, I
think
it's been a pleasure to have you on our show tonight, sir. It's been an honor and a pleasure. You know, I got to share a real quick story with you. I had the opportunity, my husband and I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to get to meet Ron Simmons and Tony Atlas at an autograph signing. And I am just a wrestling fan. I'm not a wrestler. You know, the Granny Hulkster gimmick is just because I love wrestling so much. And I'm not your average wrestling fan. And that's what Ron Simmons told me. He says, Granny, he says, you are that true fan that we don't see anymore in the business like we used to. And he says, I really admire that about you, because he says, you seem like the type of person that really enjoys it, gets involved. And that's what I love about the independent shows, because I can interact with these wrestlers and just have a really good time, because I don't like the heels. I do not like the heels. They tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip, or they'll say, don't you have a curfew at the nursing home? And I'll tell them, if you think you're man enough to make me sit down and shut up and put me in my seat, why don't you come over and say that to my face? Why don't you come over and do it? I mean, Tommy Dreamer used my cane on Matt Riviera at the last TCW show that they did in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I mean, he took my cane and he tucked the handle under Matt Riviera's tights and he pulled up on the cane and made him hop like a bunny rabbit.
That is awesome. That is awesome. You know, I believe Ron is one of the most, Ron was always good to me. Ron was always cool with me. And if Ron told you that, you believe it's 100% the truth.
I consider it a very humbling compliment. I mean, because I do. I love my wrestling. I mean, I'm 59 years old. And I still, today, I love my wrestling. I just have so much fun at it.
Ice Train has been our guest here. We do appreciate you joining us tonight, Ice. And if we haven't scared you away too much, we would definitely love to have you on our show again. Because we have more stuff that we want to cover. We just couldn't cover it all like we wanted to. But we would definitely like to have you back on again. And we thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us tonight.
Thank you, sir, for calling in.
Thank you, Ice Train.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I just, I'll send it to you on Messenger. Thanks, Ice Train. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Ice Train, ladies and gentlemen. Our next guest is waiting in the wings here, it looks like. So hopefully we'll get to them after we take a quick little time out, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
And we all hope that you do come out and see us on New Year's, because it's going to be a fun time. And Ken always puts on a great little gathering, and we want it to be a big gathering, so we want to fill the place. So come on out, celebrate your New Year's Eve with us. 2021 has just flew by. You know, 2020 seemed to drag on. 2021 kind of flew by, so hopefully in 2022 things will be a little normal for us. But we will continue what we're doing here on 89.1 Ken's FM. Our next guest is waiting in the wings. He is coming out of the green room, walking down the aisle, and about to step into the ring with us. He is the one and only. He is the double R. He is Randy Rhodes.
Hey, you're listening to Randy Rhodes on the Attitude Era Live, only 89.1 Ken's FM, with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster.
Hey, Randy, how are you? Thanks for joining us. Here's what we're going to do here, Randy. We're going to have some fun here with the interview. You got Granny Hulkster on my left, and you have CAC the Third on my right. And what we're going to do here is we'll have you give us a little background about yourself, and then I'll ask you a few questions, and we'll do a round table, and then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tough questions.
Okay. Shoot. Go for it.
Well, go ahead and give us a little background first.
Oh, okay. Sure. Well, I started in Florida, South Florida, down in Fort Pierce, where I basically have lived from 8 years old. Always been a wrestling fan, grew up on Florida Championship Wrestling, the Grams out of Tampa, basically raised me. Every Saturday at 11 o'clock, I was in front of the tube watching it. Got out of the out of high school, went into the military at 17, started 18 in basic training, spent 6 years in the military. I came out, started working for the local government there in St. Lucie County, and one day I was looking at the paper back when people actually read newspapers, and I saw they had opened up a wrestling school, and it was ran by a fellow by the name of Cliff Sheets, who wrestled as Cliff Anderson. He had a close resemblance to Arn Anderson, and a gentleman by the name of Rusty Brooks, who just passed away, unfortunately, a couple months ago. Former fellow with the WWE, and a lot of experience, trained a lot of guys, and they trained me. And I had my first match in front of people in about 6 months. I took to the business pretty quick, always been an athlete. And that match happened to be with a guy by the name of, gimmick name at that time was Earthquake, John Tenta. And funny thing about that was the night before I actually dreamed, kind of a nightmare thing. I was very, very nervous that I would work him. Only because his finish, not only was a huge guy, of course, I think about 6'6", something like that, 400-something pounds, but his finishing move was he would literally come off the ropes and sit on top of you. That was his finish. And sure enough, we got there to the WWE. Now, this is my first match, and Now I'm in the Tampa Sun Dome in front of, I think it was, I don't know, gosh, close to 20,000 people, something like that. Go to the board, dry erase board, where they list your names who you're going to be working with, and sure enough, earthquake. And after I almost vomited from the nausea of being so nervous, he sought me out, and he talked through the match. I yes sir'd in the death, and sure enough, went out there. I think we're out there for a bit of 3-4 minutes or something like that. And he did a finish on me, and hey, it wasn't a nightmare. It was more like a dream. It was quite the opposite of what I thought it would be. So that was my first experience. Went on to work with him for a little longer here in the state of Florida for their television shows, and got to work. A lot of the different guys from the Bulldogs, actually, Davey Boy Smith. I did work Undertaker, one of the first guys to work him. He was, I think, in the company 3 months. And my real name is Randy Hunter, and that's the name I used at that particular time. And if you go and you look at Randy Hunter versus the Undertaker, you'll see that match. And when he takes me into the corner, just remember I told you this, he literally clocks me. He just, bam, potatoes me, leans in, and he apologized, and we went on with that match. And so I did several more of those type matches, and then an opportunity came with a company out of Universal Studios. And I began to work the independent circuit down around Florida, too. And for the next 5 years, I worked out of Universal Studios, the first company to film out of there. And that's when I used my name, which was my radio name. I have a background in radio, and that was Randy Rhodes. And I used the term Rockin' Randy Rhodes. And got into a tag team. They put me together with a gentleman by the name of Randy Fuller. And at that time, we filmed out of there for about 5 years. And had a great run, worked with a lot of people who, about the same time, this is about 90, they got their start about the same time. Rob Van Dam did a six-man with him, and, he looked like he was 13 years old. I've got the tape at home somewhere, and brand new. I think that was his first TV he ever worked in his life. But I got to work with guys like him, Greg Valentine, several other guys. Matter of fact, Billy Gunn got his start there. He was in a tag team with Bart Gunn, who in that particular tag team, it was Kip and Brett, not Billy and Bart. It was Kip and Brett, but they still had the same cowboy gimmick. But they started there, and I got to work with a lot of different guys. They got their start there. Blackjack Mulligan, became friends with him there. He worked probably one of the last companies he ever worked with, really, but got to work with him, and Dick Slater came through, a lot of the older guys, veterans, and that's where I got my start. Then I started going to Europe, and really had great times over there, and at the same time, I was coming back and working in the independent scene, and about 1996 is when I basically retired. I was married with children, and the road life and all the temptations of the road, I had to make a choice what lifestyle I wanted to live. And my body was still good, but back then there was a lot more wrestling magazines than now. So, I was in the magazines then, and still a lot of our programming was still being syndicated and airing around. So I quit, basically retired, right when I was just getting a really good momentum for my career. But I chose my family over possibly losing them, and I've never regretted it. And I found my way back into it, actually a couple different times. With training schools and training guys, and just recently I've gotten with Coastal Championship Wrestling. They've been around about 18 years, and couple guys started this company that I actually wrestled, the IWF, that I said was at Universal Studios. We probably did about a year-long feud with them. They were called the Bad Boys, Dan Ackerman. That was probably, about 90. But now I'm with CCW. We just opened a training center, a new one, the third one that we have in Port St. Lucie. And I run a training center. And we have about 13 students right now at this location, about 45 at the Pompano Beach location. The Pompano Beach location is ran by Gangrel. So he's down there. I'm in Port St. Lucie. And then we have one in Nashville that's just getting started. So we're with CCW right now, and CCW calls itself the late, the last great territory. But Gangrel's a part of that. And also Fonzie, Bill Alfonso, probably best known from ECW, but he's been in the business with the referee when I was a kid watching Florida Championship Wrestling. So he's with us doing some managing like he did in ECW with several guys. Van Damme and the Arab guy. I can't think of his name right now. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, so he's with us, and that's what we're doing right now. Getting ready to do, hopefully do some TV. We're talking with CBS and an affiliate with CBS, Viacom, I think it is. And matter of fact, some of our girls are going to be wrestling, trying out for this new women's promotion called WOW. And I believe they're filming out of Orlando. And they just sent out a message today to the ladies in our company here. Anybody wants to try out, they've got an opportunity to do so. So things are going good. And here I sit today.
And we'll talk a little bit more about how they can join your school here in a little while. But Randy Rhodes, our guest here, we've got about 39 minutes here. You know, last week we had Mario Mancini, who also was one of The Undertaker's first matches. You know, you went through being the first match for this guy and that guy. And when you mentioned that The Undertaker kind of potatoed you, and he apologized after you went back to the backstage area, were you like, man, when he gets back here, I'm going to just, you know, or was it just like, well, I'm just going to let him come to me and apologize? Or you had been a little taken aback, right?
Well, no, not really. Actually, he apologized to me not only in the back, but he apologized to me in the ring when he potatoed me, and it was a little more than a potato. But when he potatoed me, hit me hard in the jaw, he leaned in and he said, "Sorry, brother," with that deep voice, "Sorry, brother." And then he hit me again, but he was a working punch, thank God, that time. But when we got back to the dressing room, he came up and he had those gloves on. He said he had just started wearing them. He said, "They want me to wear these gloves, man, and I'm just not really used to them." So I said, "That's okay, don't worry about it." But yeah, that was that.
So basically, not only did he potato you, he also threw in the steak as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Randy Rhodes, our guest here. We've got about 38 minutes. Here's what we're going to do here. We're going to do a little roundtable here because I know my co-hosts have got a few questions for you. We'll start with Granny Hulkster. She's on my right here as you're listening to your radio. We're on 89.1 Ken's FM. Granny, what do you got for our guest, Randy Rhodes?
Well, welcome to the show. And, you know, you mentioned Bill Alfonso's name. I help with an independent show here in Arkansas where I live called Down South Championship Wrestling. And we actually had Bill Alfonso make an appearance at our show, one of our shows here several months back when we first started. He used to call it Arkansas Championship Wrestling, and they changed the name. And he managed one of the wrestlers that night for the show, and we got to meet him. And that was a true honor to get to meet him, by the way. So, you know, that's really awesome. So when you wrestled, what was one of your most challenging matches you had in your career, and who was it against, and what kind of match was it?
Well, first of all, Fonzie, yeah, he's an awesome guy. We just did a big event this past Saturday. I'm sorry, Friday night here in Port St. Lucie. And afterwards, there was an after party at a pizza restaurant, and he came in, gave the owner a big framed picture of himself, autographed it. He's just a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah,
but,
he is.
Yeah, he really is. He's a genuinely nice, nice person. And you know, when you go online, you look his name up, when you've had people make GIFs of you, you know, those computer GIFs, you know people know you a little bit around the world. So,
mm-hmm.
But you never know it talking to him. You never would. My probably most challenging match, I would probably say Greg Valentine.
Oh, that would be a
Greg
good one.
Greg Valentine. Yeah.
The Hammer.
The Hammer, Greg Valentine. We worked in a tag team match. Actually, it wasn't even one-on-one. And he and I probably wrestled most of it. And, man, strong guy, very much a ring technician, and the hardest right elbow I've ever felt on my head. He laid it in really, really good. And needless to say, that particular night I went home, I was sore. But it was an honor. It was an honor to wrestle him. But we wrestled about 45 minutes as a team.
Wow.
Like a tag team. And I probably spent 15 minutes of that just he and I. So he's the toughest guy I've ever wrestled.
Yeah, he's pretty tough. Well, next time you see Bill Alfonso, tell him Granny Hulkster from Down South Championship Wrestling in Springdale, Arkansas, said hello.
I will. I certainly will, Granny. Certainly will.
And she still has that batch of cookies waiting for him, too.
Like I said, I'm a big wrestling fan. I'm not a wrestler, even though I've had some wrestlers try to throw me in the ring. I'm 59 years old, and I love the independent shows. I've been to one WWE show in my whole entire life, but I love the independent shows because there was a company in Arkansas that used to run called Traditional Championship Wrestling, and they would have a lot of big-name stars like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Tommy Dreamer, the Rock and Roll Express, Jake Roberts. The list goes on and on and on. And, of course, I was friends with beautiful Bobby Eaton, you know, before he, you know, God rest his soul, you know, it was such a loss when we lost him. But matter of fact, in Harrison, Arkansas, a company called Mid-States Wrestling just did a tribute show November 20th in memory of beautiful Bobby Eaton. And I got to meet his sister. His sister was there in attendance with her daughter-in-law and her granddaughter. And it was just such a pleasure getting to meet his sister. But that was such a great night because I got to see a lot of my friends that used to wrestle for TCW, you know, there. And one of the commentators, he was actually there with his wife. And that's the first time I'd seen Brian Thompson. And I don't know how long, you know, and everything. And it just, it was just like getting to see, you know, just having a big old family reunion.
Right, yeah, Bobby Eaton was such a nice guy, too. I mean, if you were ever in the locker room with him, and he would all have extra of everything, soap, rolls of tape, you name it. Hey, Bobby, you have some of this, or you got any of this? And even toilet paper. He carried a couple rolls of toilet paper in his bag. But just a real nice guy.
Because I remember we were at a Mid-State show. It was a legend show that Jason Jones, he goes by the Space Cowboy, he was doing. And Brian says, Granny, what do you think you're doing here? And I said, shut up, Brian Thompson. I came to see Bobby. I didn't come to see you. And Bobby says, yeah, Brian, leave Granny alone before I have to hurt you.
Granny's pretty low.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You can tell that about a person, you know, a lot about a person by the people that, you know, look up to them or admire them. So that's great. I just met your Granny on the radio, and you must be an awesome lady.
Well, thank you.
She
I appreciate that very much.
She is basically our words of wisdom, as you say. She's not a granny herself, but We love her as a mom
a lot of my independent wrestling friends, you know, their kids are my like adopted grandbaby, you know, grandchildren, you know. I mean, they call me granny, their spouses call me granny, their kids call me granny. I mean, the closest thing that I am to a grandmother is my son, he's 34 years old, he's never going to get married. The closest thing I'll have to a grandchild is his dog, Mysterio, so, you know, my granddog,
you
know.
Love that name,
and,
Mysterio.
Granny,
nice
don't forget
name.
About don't forget about Homer
and
as
Homer.
Well.
And Homer, yes,
right.
My sweet little Homer.
Randy Rhodes is our guest here. We've got about 31 minutes. What I'm going to do, Randy, I'm going to introduce you to our guest co-host, CAC the Third, and he's in the independent scene, and I don't know, you guess you could call him the Paul Heyman of the independent wrestlers, but go ahead. What do you got for our guest there, CAC? Go ahead.
Well, it's like you said there, I am part of the independent wrestling scene, and I just got a question for you, Randy. It seems that now independent wrestling is booming. It seems like that now everybody has a show. Everybody, you can't go a weekend without finding an independent wrestling card somewhere.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this boom in independent wrestling? I know that we will never really ever get back to the territories system because, I mean, we got WWE, AEW, got the big dogs like them. But do you see maybe a little inkling, maybe a little bit of similarity in the independent wrestling federations and what used to be the territories?
I actually do. It's funny. I was just thinking about this last week because the business has changed so much from when I was active. I actually see it that way. And part of the reason is I'm looking online. I'm seeing people's feedback from the products you've mentioned on TV. And I hear a lot of criticism of the WWE now. And I hear a lot of criticism. And I am also seeing a lot of independent people all over the place working and a lot of guys and ladies wanting to get into the business. And so I see that the same way. I mean, WWE might not, you know, be the big dog or in AEW and Impact, and yes, they've got more money, they can put people on TV, but because of that, and draw, but we, in the independent business, there's a lot of good talent out here, a lot of good talent. There's not enough companies, and I see a lot of these independent companies with really, really good talent. Now, having said that, you've got so many guys and gals wanting to wrestle. Some of these companies, they just let anybody into business that has money. They look like they came from behind the hot dog stand selling hot dogs. They don't look like athletes, a lot of them, you know. They get in the ring before they're ready. A lot of them have been doing this backyard wrestling or whatever, and they're not getting trained properly, and the people that have trained them probably have never had a match on TV, much less many under their belt. And so, but it's popular, and we have so many people wanting to get into it. I mean, we just opened my location in Port St. Lucie, right there by the New York Mets Spring Home Stadium, and in about 9 weeks, we've got 7 students just by word of mouth and a couple of shows in those in 8 weeks that we've ran 2 shows. So, you know, we've got that many people, and this past Friday night, I had 3 guys come up to me wanting our school number, and they're calling to inquire. They want to join. So there is something going on, and as far as the independent scene, are we going to merge back to that? Not like it was, I don't think, but I do think if you know, like CCW, Coastal Championship Wrestling, we've got a lot of good talent in our group, and good leadership and with TV opportunity that I believe is coming up here pretty soon, I think, you know, we could be a company that grows and we call ourselves the Last Great Territory because some of the way we're built, kind of old school in a sense, that we're not, mm-hmm. you know, a big company, but we are covering all of South Florida and up in Nashville as well. So, yeah, kind of merging back in that direction.
I kind of see that also.
Randy Rhodes is our guest here, and we're on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got 26 minutes. We're going to take a quick little time out here, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds, and we'll continue in about 30 seconds.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
And we all want you to come on out New Year's Eve because New Year's Eve is a happening event. Of course, you know, going from 2020 to 2021 with all the COVID stuff, you know, you really didn't want to go out or couldn't get out or what have you, but it's time that we put all that stuff in the rearview mirror and Ken's FM 89.1 on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2021 at the Meridian Event Center is going to take away your New Year's blues and bring in the new year, bring in 2021 with Ken's FM. And I'm actually looking forward to this with the pulled pork and the salads and the pickles and the chips. I just hope that we're allowed to have seconds and thirds and fourths.
Well, you're not going to be bringing in 2021 icon. You're going to be bringing in 2022.
Well, yeah, I know. We're going to close 2021 and bring in 2022.
Yeah, you said bringing in 2021.
He's got his mind on that pulled pork. That's all
he
was thinking about.
Yeah, he's got his mind on the food, you know, the food.
Exactly.
He's got his mind on the food.
All right, I'm guilty, that's true, I am. I'm a sucker for pulled pork. Well, let's get back to this. Randy Rhodes, our guest here. We've got 24 minutes here with Randy. Now, I'm going to ask you a few of the tougher questions, Randy, and then we'll kind of go into this, and then we're going to, towards the end here, we'll talk about your school and how we can join that and your upcoming shows and all that other good stuff. But one thing I do ask our independent wrestlers, you know, 2020, we had COVID, and we're not going to spend too much time on it, but it was depressing. But how did COVID affect you and your company?
Well, it literally shut us down for, 9-10 months completely. Nothing. Zero. And during that time, of course, it gave everybody opportunities to work out and, you know, and I think that helped everyone, but there was zero business, just like everyone else in basically the world. So, you know, it hurt us. It really did. And I think, though, being able, especially here in the state of Florida, where we have, I think, a little more freedom than a lot of other states, we're able to have shows. We don't have any restrictions. We're smart about what we do. But I think it gave us kind of a brand new enthusiasm, you know, something that we love so much, taken away for really nearly a year. So, yeah, I think it kind of lit a fire under us to not only come back, but come back even stronger. It gave us a lot of time to think about our talent, our upcoming shows, and kind of strategize, if you will, about the future with Coastal Championship Wrestling.
You know, I don't know if you keep up with the current product, but we'll kind of talk about this a little bit. You know, the WWE has done a lot of layoffs over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we're talking about how, you know, when you're raised in wrestling and that's what you do for a living and you lose your position at a major company like the WWE, you know, you really don't. A lot of them really don't have educations to fall back on. They don't have trades to fall back on. Wrestling is what they know, and wrestling is what they do. Do you think that with all the layoffs that the WWE has had, that there's going to be a bigger boom in independent wrestling with some of those wrestlers joining those organizations?
Well, I think it's definitely going to strengthen the independents. I really do. You know, I would hope to think some of these folks aren't going to charge $1 billion to work. You know, they'll probably take time off and when they're able to, you know, want to come back, I think they'll work in some of these independents, and I think it will help. You know, a lot of us don't have a ton of money to pay. Most independents don't. So if they're willing to work with us, we can work with them. And God only knows in this business, you could be let go one year and rehired the next by someone different,
and
a different company. So,
and you know, with that being said, and you know, with your organization, we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. You know, you mentioned that you know, you're a newer company, and you know, you're just kind of, you know, you're not just getting started, but you know, you're kind of you're getting yourself out there with. With CCW, how many shows do you usually run? Do you usually run a couple shows a month, one every month, one every other month? What kind of schedule do you guys put out?
Yeah, right now we're running, on average, as we speak, one a week. One a week, sometimes twice a week. We run from Hialeah all the way up to Nashville. This past weekend, we worked Friday and Saturday. Friday in Port St. Lucie, and then I believe it was a Melbourne show the next night. And this coming weekend, we're going to North Palm Beach to the Kelsey Theater, and we're working there. And I don't have my list of dates right in front of me, but we're averaging, you know, when you cram two or three there together, and you may go 5 days, 6 days, but if you average all out, it's about once a week, sometimes a little bit more.
Well, without giving ticket prices, how many people can come and see the show? How many do you allow in? What is generally your seating capacity?
Well, it depends on, of course, the location. For example, Friday night at the Mid Florida Bank Center there at Port St. Lucie, that room can hold about 500 people, and we had. It was close to full. I'm guessing we probably had probably about 450. I'm guessing. I don't know the exact numbers, but there wasn't much room left. And that is our fifth show there every 2 months, or sixth show rather. And we've grown more and more. We do a couple breweries where the capacity is only like 250, and they're full. We really draw well. We use, for example, Moose in Friday night show, Impact's heavyweight champion. And we do borrow a lot of talent. AEW, some of their dark show stars will work with us. And Impact, as you said. And we had a gentleman, I just met him, I can't recall his name, from Mexico. We had Hedy there. Hedy is a catch wrestler, and he's a member, or was a member, of the French national Greco-Roman wrestling, amateur wrestling team. He was with us for about a month, and he is in Mexico. You have to be licensed to wrestle, and there's only a few authorities in Mexico that can officially, you know, license you, particularly in catch wrestling, and he's one of them. So we're attracting a lot of talent that comes through our company. And that's what I think is helping us to be successful and be able to run like we are. And I believe as soon as we get our television going, I know for a fact We in a very short time, we could be that other show out there that everybody's hearing about.
Now, let's kind of talk a little bit. You're talking about doing a TV deal. Is it going to be like just local to your area, or are you planning on doing like a Roku release, or kind of take us through that on what you want to accomplish with that?
Well, I'm not plugged right into all those negotiations. I pretty much stay to my students and I help run shows and things of that nature as needed. But what I understand, it's a Viacom CBS group. It's going to start out, and I don't know the name of the group. I didn't write this down. I wasn't prepared. I do apologize. But it's going to start out streaming at first, and they've got a television studio already prepared. And once that starts and we get, I'm not sure how many, but shows in the can, as they say in the business, then at that point we're able to then reach out to your cable stations or your mainstream television stations, if you will, and sell the product at that time. That's kind of how it works. You kind of crawl before you walk.
Now, are you looking to hire people to work these shows for you, or do you pretty much have like a core group that you're going to have, or are you going to have like the students help you work the shows? Are you looking for people to help out?
Always looking for talent. Always looking for talent. Our students, when they're ready to work, wrestle, they will. Not until then, though. So we want to, train everyone up right, and when they're ready, we'll certainly use them as we can. So we have a good core group, a good roster now. I'm not suggesting that we're going to hire a bunch of guys and those guys are going away, not at all. But there's always room for expansion and growth, and we're always looking to improve ourselves.
And if you, when you're ready to launch on TV, we would like to get you back on the show to help you promote that. And if the icon can get down to Florida there, which I do want to take my wife down there. I've been promising to take her to Disney World for the last 5 years. Maybe if I can get down there, maybe I can get a backstage pass or maybe do some guest ring commentary or something for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you let me know when you and your wife are going to be here, and, yeah, we'll give you VIP access, and we'll put you to work, man, absolutely.
Or as a lot of people would say, you mean you gave the icon your phone number?
Right.
You're one of those guys that got that 2 in the morning call. Like I say, I'll admit, time zones are not my strong suit. You're in Florida and I'm in North Dakota. I believe you're, an hour ahead? So, time zones have never been my strong suit. I fully admit that. So going back, when you, with CCW, you said you have 13 students, correctly, at this time?
At my location, I do. Yeah, we just started this location about 8 weeks ago, and we're growing. And so in 8 weeks, that many students have came. A couple came from down south from our Pompano Beach location. Gangrel, he's down there training students down there. They got about 40, 45 students at that location. So we're just getting this one underway. Matter of fact, we haven't had an official grand opening yet, which we're going to do. We're in the planning stages, but we're just getting going, and that's what I was saying, answering the gentleman's question earlier about territories kind of coming back. There's a hunger, definitely an interest in becoming a wrestler or getting into this business, whether it's a manager, a valet, a referee. There's a lot of people interested at this time, so something's going on.
Now, Big Swing, who's not with us tonight, he's busy running the bar that he bought. He's a big edge mark,
and he's a big Edge fan. And, I'll understand if you can't do this, but would you be willing to hook us up with Gangrel? Because I want to ask him about Luna.
Yeah. I certainly will. Yeah, I certainly will.
The other thing, the other thing that we want to help you out is, being a wrestler, you know, not only do you have to have moves in the ring, you also have to be able to talk and do interviews. We'd also like to be able to interview some of your up and comers. Kenzie Page is a good example of that. She was 17 years old. This was her first interview that she ever did. She's now on AEW. And I'm going to ask you this question I asked her, and, you know, I know that, you know, you're big in the business, but one thing I asked her, I said, when you get that big-time contract with AEW or WWE, will you still talk to us and not big-time us? And I called her up after she got off the show, and she said, Icon, hey, how you doing? I can give you about 5 minutes. And I said, no, I just needed to make sure that you'd still take my call like you said you would. So, what do you tell your students about stuff like that? Like when they move on and they do get big time contracts, what advice do you give them?
To be humble. You know, don't forget where you started. I know, you know, you have a character, you have a gimmick, and some of these kids, they don't really understand sometimes how to carry themselves outside of the ring. Some of them are a little just excited to be wrestling. They'll go to the store with their gear on sometimes. So we have to have a lot of conversations, but seriously, I just tell them to be humble, be who you are. And a true professional will walk in a building, and they will say hello to everybody in the building. They're humble. They have two ears and a mouth. They listen a lot more than they speak. That's a true professional. So, you know, I encourage our guys and gals just to remember where you come from. And without fans, you wouldn't be where you are. So remember to take care of the people who take care of you.
So if someone wanted to walk into your door and get trained by you, buy like 8 weeks of classes or 6 months worth of classes? What is a general starting point to get trained by you to get into wrestling?
Yeah, right. It starts with an interview. We sit down with them. I sit down with them, and I just ask them about themselves, kind of like what you did when you took my call or when we get hooked up here. I talk about let them talk about their past, what's their motivation to come into the wrestling business, what are their goals. I had one guy tell me, he says, you know what, I'm 34 years old, I'm too old, I understand to probably do anything. And, of course, then I remind him about Diamond Dallas Page, who was also older when he got into the business and was successful at that age. He said, I just want to do it so my kids can see me wrestling. And I said, well, man, that's great. And then you have other guys and gals who want to go all the way. Their goals are to achieve that dream, setting goals and then action steps to conquer those goals and go all the way. So once we interview them, then first thing I do is get them in the ring and put them in the center of the ring and ask them to do a back bump for me. You know, from a standing position, put your butt where your feet are. Kicking your legs out, tucking your chin. If you can, at the same time, hitting the mat as your back gets flat. And a lot of times, that's the telling point for a lot of these people that want to be, you know, in the business. And they do that back bump, and they're like, oh, my goodness. Wow. I've had some of the best-looking guys, you know, as far as looking like athletes and fighters and whatnot, they do that back bump, but I've had several of them get up and say, oh, heck no, never mind, I'm not doing this. But that's the first thing we teach them, is how to bump correctly, how to protect themselves, and then from there, if they want to continue, then wonderful. Then we welcome into the family, and We start teaching moves and emphasizing conditioning and nutrition, and the last thing we teach is kicking and punching. We want everyone to learn to wrestle. It's not just not a high spot fest, and we teach psychology, which is the main thing I think with a lot of companies, even some of the ones on TV, that's missing. You know, unfortunately, some of our guys today, they think the more you do, the better the wrestling match is, which is almost never the case. Sometimes less is more. So we teach them psychology, nutrition, how to get themselves into shape, and we teach moves safely. And, of course, after these series of moves are learned, we put all those things together with that psychology, and then they will work their first match, perform, or wrestle, as we like to say, their first match right there in our school. We have student shows periodically, and that'll get a little bit of experience under their belt. Basically, three steps of teaching. First step is how to do it. Second step is practice doing it. And the third step is with that practice to be able to literally react to how you train and actually get out there and perform or wrestle. So that's pretty much the process.
Randy Rhodes, our guest here, got about 5 minutes left here. And we still have a assignment for you. If you go to our Off the Ropes page, you'll like that. You go to Ken's 89.1 FM page on Facebook, like that. Do a $10 a month donation to Power the Tower, as we call it. We'll get you an autograph from a future guest, a past guest, or a current guest. And, Randy, would you be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways?
I certainly will. Not a problem. We'll do it.
All right. I'll send you that address on Messenger, and then do what you can for us. We do appreciate it. Now,
sure.
You know, when someone comes into your school, now I'm just assuming this happens. I know you should never assume anything, but do you ever have like someone come in there like, well, hey, I'm ready. I can do this. I'm gonna do this past your school, and I'm gonna go take out everybody. Now, let's say someone comes in like a full head of steam like that. Is that what do you tell them? Do you like, well, hey, let's just kind of backtrack a little bit, or do you kind of feed off that?
Oh, no. Basically, when you have someone who's very enthusiastic, they only have a thought or two that's real about the side of the curtain that wrestlers are on, and the rest of it is from a fan's perspective, and you have to have that conversation with them. And I will tell and emphasize to the guys and girls that on that side of the curtain, there's fans, and they're seeing you wrestle. They're seeing your art, your performance, you at work telling your story. But on this side, you're a wrestler, and the mentality on that side and on this side is two different mentalities. Like I was saying earlier, over here we're about being safe, we're about being respectful. And if someone comes, you know, like you're talking about, well, I admire the passion, but if we can't, you know, we have to have that conversation, try to harness that passion in the right way so it goes in the right direction. And so that's how we do it. And sometimes, you know, when you're actually working and doing moves, sometimes you have to get their attention. Not that you would hurt anybody, not at all, but, you know, we just emphasize safety. And, you know, with a former military background, you know, use my voice as a tool. So, you know, that respect factor is taught, and I've never had an issue with anyone not being respectful, you know, to the instruction given. But sometimes you got to kind of, you know, take somebody and have a teaching moment with them, and that works really well.
Well, we got Randy Rhodes left here. We got about 120 seconds left before we got to sign off and play our end theme. But I'll tell you what, Randy, we do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us. And I know you're in Florida there. I know it's late, but unfortunately, you don't have the snow in your area like we have here. We do thank you for being with us tonight. And when some of your students are ready to start doing interviews, send me a message on Messenger. Let me know who you got, and we'll put them on the air, and we'll get them on the right track to learn how to interview the right way.
Great. Well, actually, I'm in North Carolina right now. I drove up here today to handle some business, so I'm driving back. So I'm cruising down 95 right now, talking to you guys, and so it's all good. But I'm headed back in about 5 more hours. I'll be back down there in the 81 for high weather that we have down there. And also, too, if anyone's interested in becoming a student in Coastal Championship Wrestling or working for us, what a great opportunity is down here in Florida. And we have many that come from other states that actually move here with so many jobs around. They're able to, you know, work and get jobs and train. We have people, one guy that I got into his business is Kevin Kelly, the voice of New Japan Wrestling. He was with the WWE, WWF at the time. He worked with them, I think it was 2 or 3 years, something like that. And he's from Stuart, Florida, which is the next county down. Well, he's the voice of New Japan Pro, so we have someone there that watches us and sees our talent. And, of course, with myself knowing, having friends in the business and Gangrel as well, I think that not only can we train you right, but we can introduce you right. So if anybody wants to be a part of Coastal Championship Wrestling, I can give them our phone number.
All right, and so our fans can check you out. You got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
We do. I know on Facebook, just look up Coastal Championship Wrestling. On YouTube, we have a weekly show we film, so they can get a taste of what we're doing and who we're doing it with Coastal Championship Wrestling Alive, and that's on Facebook, and it's every week filmed down here. And also, I have a phone number. I can give that out if you're ready.
Go ahead.
It's 772-302-6539, and that's my office phone here in Port St. Lucie for our training center.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we want to thank you for joining us, and you've been awesome, and we'll definitely have you on again and send us some of your students our way.
Well, I do appreciate it, and you have been incredibly awesome. And Granny Hulkster, thank you, and everyone there, and I've thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I wish you nothing but the best. And I'd love that for you to come down here and see what we're doing. And like I said, we'll put you to work.
Sounds good to me. I'll be down there. Thanks, Granny.
All right. You guys take care. Have a great night. Stay safe.
All right. Randy Rhodes is our guest here, and we want to thank him for taking time out of our schedule. That was awesome. And CAC, we're definitely going to have you back on again. You know, you mentioned that you're a heel manager, and Granny just loves the heels, of course. So what we're going to do is we're going to have you bring your tag team with you the next time you come on with us, and we'll have some fun with them as well. I don't know. He may be gone. I don't know. But anyway,
can you hear me? I'm back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I lost y'all there for a minute, and I'm back. So if that's.
Well, yeah, we're definitely going to have you on again, and we want you to bring your tag team with you next time you come on.
Oh, no problem. Ty Blade, Ultimate Male Dan Vail, we'll bring them on. Bring them on.
All right.
Nonstop Wrestling Alliance.
Well, I'll tell
you
what.
Check it out on
YouTube. This is Attitude Era Live, and you're listening to 89.1 Ken's FM. Same time next week. We got another blockbuster show, 3 guests again. So everybody come out and join us again, and we will see you all next week. Be safe to each other. Be good to each other, and we'll see you all next week in due time.
You think you know me?